Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, I'm going to begin our study in Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, third chapter. Talk a little bit about Paul's attitude toward the future. And those are the things that we talk about on days like this, the New Year's Day. We look forward to the future and look back at the past, maybe make changes that we might need to make. And so it's always good to be able to stop and think about our position, our place, where we are. And it seems like Paul had this idea here in mind for the brethren also that would be helpful to them. It's good to be with you again. I appreciate your coming together, praying with us and singing with us. It's good to be able to be with brethren such as that who have that attitude. Philippians, the third chapter, begin with me in verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I just use those two verses as part of our study this evening. Each needs to be resolved from time to time in our life to leave things in the past that need to be left in the past and to be able to examine ourselves and what we're doing now. How are we described? The importance of our purpose here in this life and then to dedicate ourselves to continuing onward. And then Paul gives us three things here. He said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. I don't necessarily think he was talking about New Year's Day resolutions, but he was talking about a way of life. He was talking about a way of living every day in his life, and that worked 2,000 years for him, 2,000 years ago for him, and it worked for us today. What's interesting about it is sometimes you might want to do that in a very, very important way. Paul had a terrible past, didn't he? I mean, and I'm depending upon you to know Paul and where Paul came from. Matter of fact, there in that this very chapter, Philippians 3, back up to verse 5, we read, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Paul did some terrible things. And I have no doubt in my mind he never forgot them. He held the coats as the people stoned Stephen, as you read back in Acts, the 7th chapter. And I don't think any of us have ever done anything like that, been involved in such a violent thing as that. But Paul would never forget that, and he would be remembered by many of that very thing. And he would later describe himself that way in those terms over in 1 Timothy, the first chapter. When he writes his first letter to the young preacher Timothy, he would say in verse 12, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, verse 13, although I was formerly a blasphemer. Now look at these words he describes himself with. Blasphemer. Blapto means to injure or harm. Feme means to speak. So to blaspheme meant to harm with speech. A persecutor, one who would continually be posing issues that would create problems for anybody. And then an insolent man. He was dangerous to be around. He didn't let things go. He would go after people. He would not only persecute people, he would prosecute people. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Paul could remember those times when he was a difficult person to be around. He was a violent person. If you're following along also, look back a few books, a couple of books, to Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians, the first chapter. Galatians 1 and verse, let's just read verse 13. Paul said, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." I'm not really sure exactly what all is involved when he says, I persecuted the church beyond measure. You might have to look that up and think of some different words and translations that are used. Generally, people think of, it was another idea about the idea of being insolent, that he would persecute the church exceedingly. He would go out of his way to do it. And so to just think about Paul, Paul was a frightening person to be around. He also had some authority also. And how easy it would be for Paul to waller in self-pity and having made mistakes, done some dumb things, stupid things, as we sometimes say. But Paul, coming back to Philippians, the third chapter, tells these brethren, he reminds them of who he was and where he came from, but he set that all aside when he learned of Jesus Christ. And he decides in his life, this is the way I'm going to live, and he describes what he does. Verse 13 again, Philippians 3. He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What a wonderful attitude to change, to be able to be this person that would set aside and put aside the things of the past. And so first of all, as he says there in verse 13, he says, "Forgetting those things that are behind," forgetting those things that once described me. How do you do that? I mean, all of us have made mistakes before. All of us have done things, maybe said things that were things we wish we could take back. And it doesn't mean really, and I think you understand when he says forgetting those things that are behind, doesn't really mean you forget them, do you? We all make mistakes, and the worse mistakes are, the easier it is to forget. Paul obviously didn't literally forget the things. And it happens throughout the Bible. You know, when you read Psalm 51, David writes about this horrible scene between him and Bathsheba. And he wrote that many years later. And he never forgot that. That happens. Or Moses. Moses wrote Psalms 90. If you go over and read Psalms 90, he never forgot how the Jewish people acted and conducted themselves in the wilderness. Well, why do you do that then? How do you forget those things that are behind? We forget those things that are behind by not letting them affect what I'm doing now, what I can do, what my talents are now, and that I'm going to learn from them. My past is not the person that I am today by forgiveness of the Lord. Paul could say that. And in some of the verses we've read about with regard to Paul, it would be amazing to read how he now talked about himself. We read in Galatians a moment ago, Galatians the first chapter, but in Galatians the second chapter, Paul says this in verse 20, Galatians 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul had a change of mind of not just the idea of, well, let's pretend it never did exist. He changed his whole life. And he became and had a purpose to live for the Lord that would obliterate the past. Not that he would forget about it, but that it no longer mattered. Because the Lord had chosen him. The Lord had forgiven him. The Lord was now using him. Look with me in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. There's a passage, there's a whole paragraph, but we'll just pick out a couple of the verses here. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Paul's making a point here about how you do have a new life. And that's just the way he lived it. 2 Corinthians 5, read down at verse 14, he says, Paul writes, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge that if Christ died for all, then all died. If Christ died for us, then all died. Verse 15, and he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Paul's talking about he died with Christ, which is talking about obeying the gospel. He's talking about being buried in baptism, buried and baptized into the death of Christ, and then he was raised from that watery grave. He was raised a new person. Therefore, we read in verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't know people by the way they used to be. He continues on, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. He thought something about Christ when Christ was on the earth, and Christ changed his mind by who he was. Look at verse 17. That's probably the most famous verse there in this passage. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My past, when I am in service to Christ, when I'm trying to serve the Lord and satisfy his will for me, I have become a new person. I have died to that person I used to be. And God forgives us of our sins and sets us on the road of service. And that's what he's talking about when he says, forgetting those things that are behind. Not that he really forgot them, but he said, I'm a different person now and I'm walking a different path. David wrote in Psalms 103, verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I wonder how many times Peter and Paul and others had to answer criticism after criticism, saying, Peter, aren't you the one that denied Christ those many times? Or how many criticisms did Paul have to face? Paul, didn't you used to kill Christians? And they probably both would say, yes, I did. And I was wrong. And I'm not that person now. And that's the way they thought of their past life. And it's so important for us as we kind of make an application. And for us, you can't start the next chapter of your life until you stop reading that previous chapter. In other words, you can't start the next chapter of your life by continually rereading and reliving that previous chapter. You've got to let it go sometime. And the Lord's willing to forgive us of our sins if we'll repent of it and confess it. Let's move on. That's what Paul is talking about. And if Paul could do this, you and I certainly could do that. If we always live in the past, if all of our thoughts are about the past, then your present and your future has already been determined, hasn't it? Because your life is just the past. And just sometimes we've got to sit down and have a talk with ourselves about what am I doing then? What am I trying to accomplish? How do I look at my past? So coming back to Philippians, the third chapter again, he makes this statement. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, those things which are growing, learning, being a part of the cause of Christ. We studied in, I think, last quarter, 2 Peter, well, Peter's last verse that he ever wrote. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Move on with the idea of being a servant of the Lord. The Lord came to seek and save those who were lost. And that's everybody. And he's willing to give us this opportunity to live for him. With forgiveness, we can have a new start in our life with regard to the Lord. And the world may not do that. And I don't think the world ever forgave Paul. He was persecuted and hounded for the rest of his life. And it seems as though he later paid an ultimate price for that. Psalms, the 32nd chapter, verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Reaching forward to those things that are ahead. What is the life now? How is it that I'm supposed to live? Romans 4 and verse 8. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute his sin." And when we read the stories in the Bible, we know that. Like Acts, the 8th chapter, the Ethiopian eunuch speaking to, or Philip speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, preaches to him the word of the Lord. He obeys the gospel of Christ. And the last time we see the Ethiopian nobleman, it says he's going on his way doing what? Rejoicing. That's the attitude. That's how we come to be people that can reflect the Lord into the world. Luke, the 19th chapter in verse 10, says Jesus came to seek and save the lost, those who were separated from God. And he wants us as a result to live this kind of life of growing in grace and in knowledge, to be a person who pursues the idea of the mission that he has given unto us, the learning the truth, preaching the gospel, or being someone who would be able to proclaim that truth, go into all the world and preach the gospel, be that kind of a person and live that kind of life. And when we talk about it, we reach forward to understanding this growing and being a part of the things that God would have us to do, simply because of our desire to be with the people who are like that, fellowship and unity, being identified with people who would care about our lives. And so fellowship and unity and this desire to continue to grow as the Lord would have us to grow is the why of living the Christian life, like 1 John 1 and verse 7. It says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin." There's a fellowship there in this desire to step out into the pathway of the Lord and serve the Lord and be identified that way. Look with me in Ephesians. I don't know how many times Paul uses this idea of walking. When we read, for example, in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship. God created us to be what we are." When we hear the gospel and we determine to obey it, God creates us through the thing that we receive through the word of God. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the way our life is. We are reaching forward to that which is ahead, that the life that we're supposed to be living as children of God, to all of the things that we read. For example, like, "Add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience." We're growing, we're changing, we're becoming more of the type of people that God would have us to be. If you're there in Ephesians, continue with me on over into the 4th chapter, verse 1. 4th chapter of Ephesians, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." What does beseech mean? He says, I'm begging you. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I'm writing this letter from prison. I'm in prison because of the truth. "But I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That is to live for Christ. Look further down, the same chapter, the 4th chapter. Look down at verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." Verse 18, "having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Look at verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ." He says, I want you to be someone that, as you read back in verse 1, he says, I want you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Look in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children," verse 2, "and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God." He said, I want you to walk in love. Look down at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk in children, walk as children of the light. He wants us to dedicate ourselves to moving ahead, moving forward to those things that are ahead. What are expected of us as people of God? Look further down, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. We've all seen those signs that says, watch your step. We know what they're talking about. Walk carefully or exactly. It has several definitions. But the idea is being careful where you walk, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We look ahead because we're having the confidence and faith of Jesus to conduct our life the way He would have us conducted. C.S. Lewis once said, there are far, far better things ahead of your life than are behind you. That's always been an interesting thought. But when you look at the way Paul writes about serving the Lord, walking in the light as He is in the light, it is things that truly describe how good our life can be. And then one day, as you read Matthew 25, to hear the Lord Himself say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. The best is ahead of us. I don't care how great we are in this world, there's nothing greater than hearing that from the Lord Himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then coming back to Philippians again, let's look with me in this third point he makes. He says, brethren, in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Peter talks about that goal, that place where we're headed. And he uses terms that are amazing to us, and still it cannot convey exactly the idea that we should enjoy. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance that is incorruptible. Corrupt means rot, like an old tree laying alongside of the road. To an inheritance that is incorruptible. It does not decay. And undefiled. It's not spotted. It's not ruined. There's not anything that could take away from its value. And that does not fade away. It won't disappear. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved where? In heaven for you. What a tremendous thought he's getting at when he talks about what Peter wants us to understand. The common destiny of the child of God with all of the others should encourage us. Remember when you read in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he makes this statement. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For the work of the Lord is never in vain. He's encouraging them. You stand, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And one of the great passages we see in Revelation, matter of fact, it's the very last chapter of the Bible, isn't it? Revelation 22, when you look down at verse next to the last one, verse 20. Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We are anticipating the coming of Christ. It may be tomorrow. May not be for another millennium, but we're looking forward to the blessings of the Lord. And we need to keep on keeping on. When he makes this statement, he says, brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let us be those type of people that in reaching our goals, it doesn't matter how slow you're going. You don't have to keep up with the fastest. Just don't stop. Keep moving. Keep going. In reaching our goals, that's the thing that would happen and help us. Forgetting those things that are behind. Trying to the best of our ability to forget the mistakes. Forget the little victories. Forget the misunderstandings. Forget those things that are behind. Accept the gospel, the truth of God. And reach forward. The future is where we're going to live, whether it's the next minute or the next day or the next week. We're going to be there, reaching forward to those things that are ahead and press toward the goal. Learn from the past. That is, forgiveness of the Lord is there. Learn to live in the presence and enjoy the purpose and the guidance of the Lord through the holy and divine will of God, and believe in the future, the promises of the Lord. And coming back again is where we'll end. That's what Paul's getting at with these brethren. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. Just think about that. Think how that would help us if we could not just vocalize that, but mentalize it, put it into our heart and mind, and make our lives reflect those very things. Moving on toward the goal of the upward call of God. If you're here this evening, you're not a child of God, I extend to you heaven's invitation. Haven't been talking about the plan of salvation. But it was very simple that Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he was setting forth this idea of, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, and you crucified both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that's what we tell people to do, to be right with God. And then live the life that God would have you to live. Follow the Lord. Follow His Word. Forget those things that are behind. And look forward to the things that God is providing for you. And set your goal and your sights on the goal of heaven. I hope the study's been helpful for you. If you're subject, would you please come as we stand and sing.